Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Thursday, December 9th. Who do you think gets worse press, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? Well, according to a media content analysis done at the request of Washington Post columnist Dana Milbank, who will join us in a sec, Biden actually gets as much negative press as Trump and sometimes worse. How can that be, considering the magnitude of the threats and failures each man objectively deserves to be criticized for as compared with the other, or at least questioned about? Let's find out with Washington Post columnist Dana Milbank. His column is called "The Media Treats Biden as Badly or Worse than Trump. Here's Proof." And Dana thinks this isn't just a problem for Joe Biden, but a problem for democracy. Dana, thanks for coming on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hello, can you hear me?
There we go. Now we got you. Would you start at the beginning and tell us what you were noticing that led you to ask someone to do a data analysis of this?
Sure. I mean, I was noticing, the headlines in my paper and in others, and listening to cable news. Not your show. you're not to blame in any of this, but it seemed like it was particularly negative. So I went to this group called Fiscal Note, and they have a unit called Forge.ai, and they did this for me. They commissioned it in a sense, but they did it on their own dime. And so they used a database of some 200,000 articles from 65 publications. So we're talking tens of millions of words about Joe Biden in 2021, and they compared it to Donald Trump in 2020 and 2019. The database didn't go back further, so we couldn't do a more extensive comparison. But the interesting thing to me, and Biden started out with a bit of a honeymoon in the press, but if you look at the last 4 months, he's gotten coverage that is as bad as, and in a couple of months, worse than Donald Trump got in those same 4 months, August through November of last year. And remember, this is the time when Trump was making nice with the Proud Boys, with QAnon, the pandemic was raging, and he was saying, I'm not going to necessarily honor the results of a free and fair election. And then he didn't honor the results. So it seems to me that something is terribly wrong. If Biden, love him, hate him, whatever. I mean, the guy is fundamentally trying to, cobble democracy back together.
How did this data analysis measure negative coverage of Biden and Trump? What were they specifically looking for?
So they, they have their own sort of special sauce algorithms. This is often used in financial markets to, see how well companies are doing. So they'll look at adjectives, favorable and negative adjectives, where they're placed in the story, give weight to, higher in the story, the proximity to the president's name. So there's a lot of sort of hocus pocus involved, but it does work. In other fields, some have raised questions about, does it actually apply here? I will note that, we don't really have anything to compare it to. Nobody actually goes through the coverage and analyzes it this way. But the Pew Research Center does do it in the first 3 months of each president's presidency. And our results were consistent with those results from Pew. So that leads to some confidence that it is it's a meaningful contribution to the debate. Is it the final word? Absolutely not. But it's an indication of where things are.
Intuitively, I'll be honest, this finding surprises me, and I find myself a little skeptical. Maybe I'm living in a bubble, but it seems to me that except in the explicitly right-wing media ecosystem, which is obviously very large, but except for that, if you're talking about mainstream, supposedly non-ideological news organizations, my impression is that Biden is covered as a normal president with normal range successes and failures, and Trump is covered as an existential threat to democracy and truth. At least those are the questions that surround Trump, those existential ones, even more so after January 6th, which I would tend to see as more negative than whatever, Biden mishandled the Afghanistan withdrawal or whether inflation is partly his fault. Questions come up about him. What am I missing?
Well, I think that I think that's exactly the point, that there you would think that the coverage would be more negative that. But what I'm saying is the tone of the coverage is as negative on Biden saying, you know, the botching the pullout from Afghanistan, you know, failing to get his Build Back Better through Congress is basically being treated the same as or even worse than these threats to democracy. So I think that's the problem. The other piece of this that we found is Trump got literally twice as much coverage a year ago as Biden gets now. So he was much more dominant in the headlines, and Biden has, you know, he has a bit of a vacuum that allows other people to define him. So, you know, my conclusion from this was, you know, not that we should all go out and be nice to Joe Biden, but we should recognize that these are not ordinary times when, you know, we've basically gone back to our traditional role as sort of the adversarial press, you know, holding the powerful to account. And of course, we need to do that. But we also have to recognize that the people who are bringing down Joe Biden are also in many ways bringing down democracy. And that's why I think we need to cover it differently.
So your conclusion about the meaning of these findings, Dana, is that your media, I'm reading, this is a quote now from you, that your media colleagues are serving as accessories to the murder of democracy. Why do you think democracy is at stake in this critical coverage of Biden?
Well, look, I mean, I don't think it's very easy to dispute that the fate of democracy is, you know, up for grabs here. We have very active threats in, you know, at least 10 states to put in place a system where by the state legislature can overrule the vote of the people. You know, I mean, we see the threats to democracy, the rule of law on a regular basis. I think we need, my view is not that we need to be extra nice to, you know, poor Joe Biden. It's that we have to recognize what the constant threats are to our democracy. We need more of that coverage, more of where the norms are being broken at each step along the way. Not to say we need to, you know, talk more about how eloquent and handsome Joe Biden is. We don't need more of that press coverage. But I think that, you know, I don't think the press is doing anything deliberately nefarious. I just think we have returned to where we were pre-Trump, but we're not back to where we were pre-Trump because the Republican Party is still has these same authoritarian instincts that he injected into it.
Do you think these findings do something to explode a belief, maybe a myth, that the major national media run liberal? You know, there have been surveys by conservative media watchdogs indicating that those journalists, meaning, you know, the ones who work for the New York Times, Washington Post, the major networks, vote in the main for Democrats for president. So where would any of that and the findings that you just got fall into this storyline that the major national media run liberal?
I think, you know, these two things can be true at the same time. I think, you know, temperamentally ideological, the press leans. I mean, you know, the mainstream press leans left. I don't think there's any point in really disputing that. But I don't think that's the main thing that drives coverage. We want, you know, clicks. We want eyeballs. We want ears. And how do we get that? We get it through conflict. You know, the old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, whatever one may think about Donald Trump, he was really good for the news business. You know, he unbroke the business model, and we all had tremendous numbers of readers, listeners, viewers, and that has really dropped off a cliff. So I think the media have retreated to their adversarial position, which is sort of the default position, and that has worked well for us all along. So I think the main thing that's driving the Biden coverage and the main thing that drives media coverage generally is being adversarial and being interested in conflict.
Let's take a phone call. Pedro in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Washington Post columnist Dana Milbank. Hi, Pedro.
Hi. I just have to take it off speakerphone for a moment. Give me a second.
Thank you.
I'm a little surprised by all of this because the media is failing left and right. You were unable to call Trump as the the leading candidate for the last election. And Brian, you had someone on about 2 weeks ago talking about how January 6th is the symbolic moment when the democracy is an illustration of how deeply in trouble we are, and how if the Democrats don't do something drastic, it will fail. And you both went on about it as though it was just news. I don't hear alarm. I don't hear concern. I don't hear anything of that sort. And this is merely another example, what we're discussing now, or what you're discussing now, of how both parties are the same. I've given both parties up. Whomever runs as a third party, I will vote for, because there's no difference between the two parties at all. Joe Biden is a disappointment. He was going to be. He's the biggest mistake this country's ever made. And that's where we are.
The biggest mistake this country's ever made?
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead. You want to make the case for a
second? He's guaranteeing that the last president will be reelected. This is just the beginning of the disappointment in Biden. It was a mistake. We had other candidates. We had another great candidate. And we chose Biden. We chose Joe Biden. And look at what's happening.
Pedro, thank you very much. So Pedro's call is very interesting, Dana, in part because, you know, so if the survey you commissioned or the data analysis of news stories that you commissioned found a lot of negative coverage of Joe Biden, some of the mm-hmm. criticism of Biden that causes press coverage is from doubts about him in his own party. There have been a few like that recently about progressives like Pedro not seeing Biden fighting hard enough from their point of view. I have a New York Times article here from the other day. Democrats struggle to energize their base as frustrations mount. Even as President Biden achieves some significant victories, Democrats are warning that many of their most loyal supporters see inaction and broken campaign promises. And that goes on to mention voting rights, climate protections, immigration reform, gun law mm-hmm. reforms, as these issues all bog down in a divided Congress. So how does that factor into the big picture of press coverage?
That's, Brian, that's actually a critical piece of the study that I didn't mention earlier. And part of the reason Biden gets such negative coverage is he's getting it from the right as well as from the left. So, you know, when Trump was president, he was getting remarkably favorable coverage, you know, from the Breitbarts of the world, from Fox News. But there's no equivalent on the left. We found that left-wing outlets, you know, Huffington Post, for example, were sharply critical of Biden. Now, they're critical of him from the left, saying he's not being progressive enough. But I think there's a real difference there, that there's a right-wing press that is partisan for the party, for the candidate. The left-wing press isn't really partisan. It's ideological. So it holds the Democrats to account for not being pure enough. So that is a very key part of it. I understand the caller's frustration. I think that reflects a lot of the coverage on the left. I suppose the argument counter to that is, you know, Biden is all we've got. And I don't mean, you know, we as capital D Democrats. I mean lowercase d Democrats. It's him or people who are working to undermine democracy.
Maybe it makes sense that Trump is getting a lot more coverage than other previous presidents when they leave office, because if we consider Trump an ongoing and looming threat to democracy, who is still influencing, you know, Kevin McCarthy and other party leaders in office to do destructive things today, we should be covering Trump a lot.
Yeah, should be covering him, not in the way we traditionally do of look what he said today or look what he said, but, you know, actually focusing on the substance and saying, hey, this is not normal. This has never happened before in American democracy. This is a danger to the republic for the following reason. As I mentioned earlier, we did very well business-wise as the media under Trump. And it still is true that if you mention Donald Trump's name, you are going to get more clicks. So that's it really matters the way we're discussing him.
Tom in the Bronx, who says he worked on the Biden campaign. Tom, you're on WNYC with Washington Post columnist Dana Milbank. Hi.
Hey, Brian. First time, long time. Hi, Dana. How are you? Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, if we're talking about Joe Biden as he relates to, society at large or how he's portrayed in the media, I think one thing that we have to look at is, you know, you have key demos. You have who's getting their news from where, who's getting their news when, who's getting their news how. You know, CNN, MSNBC, these are not channels that have broad appeal to the key demo. So if it is negative criticism about Biden, I mean, you know, where is it coming from? Does it have to strictly be from the right wing? I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to. And sort of the idea of like the left boogeyman, who could be anyone. It could be Jimmy Dore. It could be Breaking Points. They're there, but they're giving, you know, at least not so much Jimmy Dore, but other forms of left media. They're giving an earnest report on him. They're giving an earnest report on what I went out and campaigned on, which was, you know, these policies that should have been in Build Back Better or student loan debt cancellation. And there have been false promises that were made, and people are not seeing them delivered on. And it's just, I think that's where you get some negative cover for Biden. It's not, you know, that Joe Biden controls Silk Road and the dark web and that he's, you know, some nefarious Pizzagate guy. It's just straight up failures and sucks.
Tom, thank you very much. Some of the tweets coming in. I 100% agree that the media is failing coverage of the methodical deterioration of our democracy, but we must hold Biden to his promises. Another one, Republican efforts to undermine voting rights is not equivalent to Democratic efforts to promote policies. Another one, we are in an information and education crisis. The media's need to provide what they consider balanced coverage is often bogus. Another one, I think it is important to point out that President Biden is trying to straddle a middle line and consequently is not making everyone happy. Another one, pushing back on the first caller. So first caller, it's Brian Lehrer talking to Milbank at, is some young dude bro declaring the parties are exactly the same? How is this a thing people can possibly still think? And another one along those lines, caller saying there is no difference between parties is a huge part of the problem, but he is also the type of person, sorry, this just flipped off my screen, he is also the type of person who will never accept responsibility for his actions. I don't know who that refers to, but there's some of the, and one more. What I don't like is they say Democrats control Congress as if Manchin and Sinema vote with the Democrats. So you're sparking a big Twitter response, Dana. Really interesting. let me get one more caller in here. Dan in Flatbush has a big picture analysis, even bigger picture analysis that he's going to try to throw at this. Dan, you're on WNYC.
Thanks so much for taking my call. Yeah, I think it. You know, we're in a place in this country where you know, our expectations of and our living standards are on a downward trajectory. And I think there's a lot of righteous and rightful anger towards the center in politics and in a larger sense, like a crisis of legitimacy of the government at large. So I think it's no surprise that, you know, a very centrist politician like Joe Biden, who represents all that, is going to take the heat. And I think it's right.
Dan, thank you very much. The way our screener heard that call, and let me get you to make a last comment, Dana, as we run out of time, to what you heard Dan actually say and the idea that he also threw out there that I think is really interesting, that this whole conversation speaks to a withering away of legitimacy in general, that it doesn't matter who's president. it's a general sense of negativity out there. You know, I saw somebody talking about your column on cable TV, I don't remember who, saying when they started in journalism, they were told there are two kinds of stories about government. One is, government is doing something good for the people, yay. And the other is, government is doing something bad, boo. Now it's overwhelmingly, government is doing something bad, boo.
Yes, that's true. And there's, I agree, that is the nub of it. There is a crisis of legitimacy, not of Biden, of American government, of a democratic representative government. And that's why I'm saying the media need to be partisan, not for one party over the other, but pro-democracy, pro-truth, because there is a struggle right now between democracy and this creeping authoritarianism, and between truth and this, you know, alternative fact universe of conspiracy theories. We need to be partisan and take a stand in that battle. You know, that doesn't mean we got to write nice stories about Joe Biden. We just have to be clear-eyed about what's happening to our country.
Washington Post columnist Dana Milbank, for starting the conversation about the media that you started. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks a lot, Brian. Appreciate it.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.